As they come to the top of the stretch, it is Anchor Down joined on the outside by Frosted. And Frosted has gone on by and he has exploded. He is absolutely blowing his competition away. Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely romped in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up in a final time of 1 minute 32.73 seconds. Anchor Down, Upstart, Amise Flatter. They were a mile behind him.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oakland, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What is up? Welcome to Blinkers Off. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Hall. What's going on, dude?
Man, we survived the Belmont and we survived Vegas. That is two big wins for us.
Honestly, I think Vegas trumps Belmont, considering the weekend we had.
No, Vegas definitely trumps anything, really, that we could have done. But yeah, we survived it, had a good time, made a little money, all of us did this time. So it was all around a really good trip.
Yeah, I can't lie, though, if it sounds like it on my voice, I'm still recovering a little bit from Vegas. It's Thursday, we got back Sunday night, and I'm still recovering a little bit from Vegas.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except for herpes. That shit'll come back with you.
It's the rule of four. If you're there four nights, it takes 4 days to recover. That's kind of the thing I've thought from Vegas. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't drink every second of the day when I'm at home. And I don't stay up 22 out of 24 hours of a day when I'm at home.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You don't, I think I had like one glass of water in 4 days in Vegas and got about as much sleep as I got all last night. I got the whole time I was in Vegas. So,
yeah.
When you get old, I mean, especially when we went when we were in our 20s, it's a little easier to recover.
That's true. It's pretty bad. Let's just put it that way.
But it was a great weekend. Of course, we went to the Bellagio and bet the entire day for the Belmont Day. It was a fantastic, fantastic card. Obviously, Creator winning the Belmont Stakes was unbelievable. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But the performance of the day, and maybe the performance of the year, is Frosted. Frosted winning the Met Mile in incredible fashion. It was unbelievable.
It may be the performance of my horse racing career following the sport, to be real honest with you. It left me speechless, and I was not in a state of mind where I should have been speechless at that time when he ran. I was talking to everybody and anybody, but man, I got to tell you something. That just took my breath away. And when he made the turn and he made that move and he got up 3 or 4 links, I thought we're going to see something very good here. I didn't think what was going to happen next was going to happen, but over 14 links. A 123 buyer, which that's unheard of anymore, it seems like. And how about a -8.5 thoroughgraph number? That's the best thoroughgraph number in the history of thoroughgraphs. That is amazing to me. Just an absolutely awesome performance.
Oh, yeah. Everyone had the questions of, how, fit he was after in Dubai. And then, of course, if a mile was too short for him and, the field being too strong, whatever. We all picked him, but I definitely didn't thought we'd have to earn it a little bit. And about the top of the stretch, I started walking to the window because I knew we had it. So,
it was one of those races. Yes, we did pick him and we did bet him. Thank God we bet him. But it was one of those races where you picked him, but you weren't real confident in him.
Right.
Confident enough to bet him, but there were some doubts with the distance and all this stuff. But turns out Frosted on the cutback, not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, I mean, what's moving forward for him? Do you think is he a whole new horse now?
I wish I knew. I know this, if he can repeat that effort, there's not anybody on the planet that's going to beat him, and he won't lose again. You know, he shortened up to a mile, and that looked very good. But, man, the way he ran, it looked like he could have ran a mile and a half, you know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping, because I've always loved Frosted. I've always felt a little sorry for him because American Pharoah just killed him so many times. By the way, great flattering job by Frosted for American Pharoah in that race. But I've always rooted for him, and I hope that he, you know, can build on this and go in races like the Whitney, the Woodward, if they try that up at Saratoga, you know, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and of course, Breeders' Cup Classic. I hope he does well in all those, because I've always been a big fan. There's no reason to think he won't after that. There's a huge performance.
What was the best thing you saw today?
Best thing I saw today, racing from Royal Ascot, obviously. I've been watching it all week. I've been covering it on the site for the first time ever. And anybody that hasn't watched this or you know, kind of thinks it's lame or whatever because it's not here, it's really something spectacular. I went into it this year thinking, well, you know, we need to cover it. We're getting bigger. There's people that like international racing, so I'll give it a shot. But I've really fallen in love with it, and basically, probably anyway, because of the two great American horses that have won over there, Teppan, who's just incredible, and Lady Aurelia, who was maybe the best of the whole meet so far. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see what those, you know, obviously Teppan, but both of those horses, how they move forward. Of course, Breeders' Cup being the goal, I'd say. So, yeah, Teppan should be, like, you know, best thing I saw this week.
Right.
But for today itself, I've got, I love the U.S. Open, and the U.S. Open started off today. So this is the best thing I saw. It is play suspended, but I love Oakmont. I love when they play there. Only 8 scores as we record this right now. Play is suspended right now. So only 8 scores under par at the moment. So if that's any indication, the weekend could be pretty fun.
You're right about Oakmont. That is one of the best places to have the U.S. Open. I'll always be partial to Pinehurst because of our favorite golfer. I believe he's your favorite golfer, mine, for sure. Payne Stewart winning there in 1999, how great that was. So Pinehurst, I'll always love to watch it there, but Oakmont is great.
Oh, yeah. It always is good there. So yeah. Definitely love the U.S. Open. This is, it seems like we've been so invested in racing lately, so this is a good weekend. There are some great races this weekend, but a good weekend to sit back and watch some golf as well. So
absolutely, you can kind of toggle between the two, where if it was last weekend, man, you'd have to be on that Belmont the whole time. Yeah. So it's great.
Yeah. All right, today's show, we recap Creator's victory in the 148th running of the Belmont Stakes, give rapid fire selections for stakes races around the country, and we bring it back, throw down the rant of the week. Let's go.
It is still Gettysburg, who will turn into the stretch with Destin right on his outside. And they're into the stretch. And Destin has taken the lead in the Belmont Stakes. Stradivari is there. Governor Malibu couldn't get through on the inside. He is in traffic. Exaggerator. Here comes Lonnie on the far outside. And Creator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Creator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Creator. These two come down to the line together. Too close to goal.
Creator, the horse from Oaklawn, has won the Belmont Stakes, 140th running of the Belmont Stakes. Destin finished second. Lanny, our boy Lanny, just keeps on going. Finished third. And Governor Malibu had a pretty troubled trip to finish fourth. Exaggerator, the odds-on favorite, finished 11th and was a pretty pathetic performance. Had no energy down the stretch. Here's some of the payouts. You had $32 or $34.80 on the win on Creator, $14.60, $9.40. Destin paid $9.40 to place, $6.20 to show, and $6.60 on Lanny. The pick four, the $2 pick four, paid over $3,500. The $2 exacta paid $2.69. The $2 super paid over $27K. The $2 try paid $2,700, $2,751. So insane payouts. And looking at these payouts, man, real quickly, and I just mentioned it to you, and you gave me a hard time, but when I look at the pick four, paying $35.94 for a $2, and you think about how easy that pick four would have been for me personally to hit, because I mean I cashed tickets on the three last races with Frosted, Flintshire, and Creator. I mean, in that turf race, I mean, you know we would have gone deep in that one. And it was Bill Mott. I imagine we would have had. I can't say for sure, but would have had. I mean, it just seems like a very easy ticket to cash considering it paid almost $3,600.
Well, you think about it. We said all week you had to go all in that race. So say you went all in the turf race. Your top pick won the last three races. My top pick won the second leg, the third leg, and then the fourth leg, my second choice. So you would have had to go all three singles. I would have had to go all single two. So sickening, obviously. Yeah, you're right. But let's talk about you and brag on you for just a second. You know, all the way back in February, we talked about Creator. I loved his maiden race. We hyped him up. I hyped him up for the Arkansas Derby. Didn't pick him. You didn't pick him. He wins. I thought he had a great shot to win again. I didn't pick him. Finally, you got smart. You picked him. Huge price. Everybody's excited. Talk about the win on Creator, man. This is your horse.
Yeah, this I think the entire the sports book at Bellagio knew I picked Creator because
they sure did.
Anybody that watched the race, it was the most incredible finish literally they've ever had in the Belmont, or at least tied to that. It was tied the closest margin of victory ever. He never had the lead once until the wire. It took for you know how the Belmont is. It takes forever to get down the stretch. You had Laney on his outside coming. Destin looked impossible to catch. It just the whole way down the stretch. I yelled for Creator, and it's funny looking at it on the replay and even pictures, it's incredibly close, but it's like as soon as it hit the wire, I knew he won. Maybe that was just me being wishful thinking a little bit, but I was super proud. I mean, obviously, I was lucky because you basically are. I said on the podcast last week, I loved Creator in that race, but he still had to make a jump up, you know, which you didn't know if he would or not. One thing I did say, you know, I did not think Exaggerated run as bad as he did. Obviously had him second choice, so that, and Sunbreaking News as well. Did not think he would run as bad as he did, but Creator definitely lived up to the hype. I just think this horse is running as good as any horse that's ran the Triple Crown. Just because if you take out that Kentucky Derby, which, you know, let's look back at that. Who knows how he would have ran the Kentucky Derby with a clean trip? I don't know if he would have won, but he certainly would probably hit the board.
Oh, he definitely would have. And we're not just saying that because of what happened to Belmont. We said that after the race, that, you know, it cost him a shot to hit the board. You know, you talk about that stretch run, and you're looking at it from your eyes that has money on Creator. And I didn't even bet the race because I just wasn't confident enough in Sudden Breaking News to bet it. So I'm looking at it from just watching the race. I'm just basically a fan. And there were... I never knew ever who was going to win that race down the stretch. At one time, I thought Lonnie was going to win the race. He was coming hard on the outside. I thought, oh, my gosh. And then I thought, oh, Destin, he's got it. And then about halfway down, I thought, no, Creator's going to pass him. And then it just seems like it took him forever to get past, but he did it. And that's all that matters. That thing I'll say about Creator, first of all, the horse did jump up and improve, like you said. There's no doubt about that. But a Hall of Fame ride by Erad Ortiz Jr. Saved every step of ground on the backstretch, made the move, and this was where he won the race, made a ground-saving move on the turn to get position. Mm-hmm. He was back early, like always, but when they turned for home, he was in striking distance. That won the race for him. And then, obviously, just to get him there, it was awesome, too. But that move on the turn, and not only the move, but the fact that he saved the ground on the turn, unbelievable ride.
Well, it was like he ran the race in like three or four different segments. You know,
absolutely.
He got the start. We knew he'd be in trouble from the start because of being the 13 post. So he did what he could to save ground, and then in the backstretch, he made a little bit of ground and made another move to position himself on the rail. Stayed on the rail for as long as he could. Then made another move to get him a little bit closer, like you say, in that turn. And then really, a little bit of racing luck as well in the stretch as he was coming. You could tell he was loaded. I mean, you could tell Creator was loaded, but he didn't have anywhere to go. And there's a little bit of a gap. It opened up. And boy, Irad pounced. And from there, it was just if he can get there, you know. So he ran huge.
I'm the biggest Erad Ortiz fan. Well, maybe not the biggest. There's probably bigger ones, but I'm a big fan of his, and I loved it. And, man, I loved the emotion he showed after winning that race. That's great, you know. I was pumped. I was pumped for Destin. I thought he ran really well. Lonnie, when you look at Lonnie's replay, he ran huge.
Yeah.
He basically made a one-mile sweeping move on the outside. He was picking off horses the whole last mile.
Well, he ran a lot like we had kind of thought if ever this was a race he would win, it'd be this one because of that. He just kind of keeps coming, you know.
Yep.
It's not anything impressive. It just is this long, kind of slow and steady, sustained run, and that's what he did.
Yeah, and it was I tell you what, it was more than a brief second. There was a couple of seconds there where I wasn't quite sure it was Lonnie. I was pretty sure it was him on that outside, and I thought that outside horse is moving best, and he will win this race right here.
Oh, to be honest with you, you know, anytime, you know, Creator's 10-1 morning line, which I thought I would get that at best, and then whenever it comes about when I'm making my bets, he's staying steady at 15-1. I thought, what is going on? Like, am I an idiot? Like, am I seeing something that no one, you know, like, why is he 15? Well, actually, he was 16-40 at the end. So I was like, and so anytime you make that kind of bet and the horse has gone up in odds, you're thinking, good Lord, like, this is not good. And even whenever he looked like he was going to run huge in the stretch, like, I didn't know at that time because I was so focused on him that it was Lonnie. If I had known it was Lonnie, I probably would have been flipping out even more. I just knew there was a horse, and it looked like he was going to go around Creator, like he had a little more momentum. Yeah. And even whenever he looked like he held him off, but I didn't think he'd get to Destin. Because that just, you do that, you see that race 10 times, and you might split it as far as the wire goes. So
yeah,
you just got a little lucky is all.
Well, and that's what it takes a lot of times, man. But it was a great pick nonetheless. We'll touch on Exaggerator just for a second. I'm sure everybody kind of wondering about him. And I mean, bottom line is he just flattened out and ran, you know, he threw the towel in, basically. That's what happened. And maybe the Triple Crown grind finally got to him. He had ran three, not just two, but three bang up races all in a row. He was probably due for maybe a little bit of a bounce. And honestly, that's probably why you and I, the biggest reason, let's say, why we kind of went against him. It's just, you know, he's probably ready to bounce a little bit, and he did.
Yeah, he bounced extra hard. You know?
Bounced to the moon, yeah.
Yeah, and you could even argue if you want to go there. I mean, I'm not ready really to go there yet, but if you wanted to go there, you could say maybe he's a horse that just, he any kind of fast track, he's not going to, you know, because even at Churchill that day, there was a little moisture in the track. You know, it had poured. I'm not saying I'm not there, but that's going to bring the talk back if you, you know, when you run that poorly. You know, he'll have a summer to see, and obviously he's fine, even though it looked like he may have injured himself a little bit in that stretch. But he's fine, and we'll see him this summer. And we get to see these guys, you know, Creator, your Nyquist, Exaggerators, all these horses we've been watching, and get to see up against Moheyman. Moheyman's just itching. He's ready to go.
Well, it's you know, we've got the three horses that won these three races. They kind of control their own destiny, as if they can win out or win almost all of them, they're probably going to be 3-year-old horse of the year. So we'll see if they can jump up and you know, get consistent. Leading up to it, really, only Nyquist was the consistent horse. Now, can Creator get consistent? Can Exaggerator, you know, what's going to happen with these horses? It's going to be fun to watch. But, we had three different winners of the Triple Crown races, like you thought we would. You know, but it was exciting, at least. I thought each race brought a little bit of excitement. I almost feel like the Kentucky Derby this year may have been the most boring of the three, you know, when you look at it. The other two were very exciting. There's some controversial things that happen at the Preakness, and then obviously you get a nose finish at the Belmont. That's great.
So let's real quickly, I don't want to talk about this ever again, the final points of the dudes fantasy draft this year. Where are we sitting at?
Well, after thinking that you were going to win, and I thought you were going to win for most of the prep, if not all the prep season, I pulled off the victory, the come from behind victory, 180 for me and 127 for you. I've now won 2 out of 3 years, but you did have a Triple Crown winner last year, so I still don't have bragging rights.
I pulled the shining copper of the year, for sure.
Good. Yeah, you did.
Went out to an early lead, got a little lazy, and well, the rest of my horses didn't even finish the Triple Crown, so
right.
they're all MIA at the moment. So congratulations, I'll give you credit. You know, having Nyquist really turned out to be the difference. So congratulations. Yeah. I'll ship over a bottle of champagne to your office.
Oh, I can't wait. That just sounds fantastic.
Time for Rapid Fire, presented by all the gray horses of 2016. This has been the year of the grays, including the trifecta in the Belmont Stakes, including Frosted in the Met Mile. It just seems like we've had a lot of gray horses do really, really well this year already. So this is all of them. They have like their own group, and they contacted us, the Gray Committee of Thoroughbreds, I think it's called. And they contacted us, and they wanted to sponsor Rapid Fire. So there you go.
Gray Committee of Thoroughbreds, yeah. that's exactly what it's called.
All right, let's start at Belmont Park, race 4, the Poker Stakes, grade 3, worth $300K for 4-year-olds and up. Won 1 mile on the turf, field of 6, led by your 9-5. Morning line favorite, obviously, that's your horse. Are you going that way?
I hate that I'm doing this because this horse always screws me over. No, I'm not going, obviously. I'm going to go number 6, Takeover Target, in this race.
Remember last time I picked Takeover Target, you made fun of me for picking that horse. And now you're picking the horse, though. I can't believe it. I bet it doesn't run well because of you.
There's a lot like that, you know, that has been like that over the years. I was really impressed last time.
I was too, but I'm not going to get greedy, and I'm not going to do it again. So I went number 1, Grand Arch. Cuts back to a mile here after finishing a good third in the Dixie last out, going a mile 16th. Last year was really dangerous, going a mile on the turf, including the grade 1 Shadwell he won, and the grade 2 4-star Dave. And then he finished 3rd to Tepper in the Breeders' Cup Mile. So if he can get back to any of those kind of class, he should do really well. So number 1, Grand Arch. Let's go to Churchill Downs, race 5, the Matt Wynn Stakes, grade 3, with 100K for 3-year-olds, going 1/116 miles. This is at 7:57 local time. It is the night racing for the Stephen Foster card on Saturday night, so definitely a huge card to watch. And it's at night, so you can't beat that. This is, led by 3-5 Morning Line favorite Gun Runner, of course, finished 3rd in Kentucky Derby. We know what he's about. Can't any of these horses upset him?
Nope. Gun Runner and 6 dogs in this race. So this is probably this Gun Runner's maiden race was probably tougher than this one. Gun Runner all the way.
Yeah, you look at this field to try to beat Gun Runner, and you just laugh. He has him so outclassed. It's not even funny. He looked at this field, and he's ready. So, he can do it backwards. Number 2, Gun Runner. Race 6, the Florida Lease Handicap, to grade 2, worth $200K for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going 1/1/8 miles. Field of 6 shows up for this one. This is an interesting field. Number 1, Untappable at 7-5, and then Odd Chocolate at 2-1, the 4 horse. And then really, past that, every horse is 8-1 or lower. This is interesting. Where are you going?
What the hell do you do with Untappable at this point? The funny thing is, she keeps running, and she keeps getting morning line favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say, she keeps running, and she's morning line favorite every time, yet she doesn't win.
No, and not only is she not winning this year, she is bad.
Talk about a horse who did so well earlier in her career that it has literally carried her the rest of her career. Like, every time she runs, she's a favorite.
I can't figure out what to do with this race, because as bad as she's been, this field is a joke. I hate this race. Don't bet this race. I'm just going to throw that out there. Because really, on paper, Untappable should win. But if you take her at 7-5, even if you win, if you take her at 7-5, you're not very smart. No. And you may win.
In my notes, I actually have, I want to go on record to say I hate this race. So we're on the same page here. I don't like Untappable. I don't like All Chocolate. I don't think, but the rest of them are so much worse than those two that I think, I mean, if you're making me make a pick, I'll go with All Chocolate just because she's 2-1 versus 7-5, but I'd rather just not bet it at all.
I'll just say I'll pick the higher priced of those two horses and move on. How about that?
You should pick the highest priced horse, period, like paid up subscriber.
Okay, that's fine. But no, in all honesty, All Chocolate, Untappable, whoever's highest priced, that's who I'll pick.
I'm with you. Race 7, the Wise Dan Stakes. It's a grade 2 or 200K for 3-year-olds and up. Going 1/116 miles on the turf. Field of 11, led by your number 2 horse, the Pizza Man. 6-5, will he deliver in Kentucky?
I'll never go against him. So the Pizza Man for me, but I do think this is kind of a cool race. But I can't ever go against the Pizza Man, and honestly, even though I do think it's a kind of a good race, got a lot of nice horses, they're not as nice as him. So, Pizza Man for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. If you get anywhere near 6-5, you got to hammer him because he's 8-10 at this distance. He's facing rivals who, like you say, are good, but they're nowhere near what he's used to facing. So, this is a field that he should just beat down. Number 2, the Pizza Man. Race 8, the main event of the night, the Stephen Foster Handicap. It's a grade 1 worth $500,000. For 3-year-olds and up, going 1/8. Field of 7 shows up for this. Number 3, FNX, is your morning line favorite. At even money, you've got Bradster at 5-1, Majestic Harbor at 5-1, Eagle at 6-1, International Star at 6-1. But I mean, come on. FNX, even money, is that where you're going?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I do think Bradster, you know, maybe if he can get the distance, might be able to give him a little bit of a challenge. But FNX is so much better than the rest of these horses. And like I've said on the podcast repeatedly, I'm not a guy that sits here and makes up reasons for horses to lose. And I'm not going to start today. FNX easily for me.
What's amazing is FNX has earned over $2.6 million now. I mean, this horse.
Unreal.
Yeah, this is a horse that really we kind of, you know, wasn't even talked about up until, you know, last year. It's really incredible what he's done just in short time. He's coming off the super impressive Oakland Handicap. He was incredible that day in the Oakland Handicap. Stevens now gets the mount because Mike Smith is obviously staying home to ride Songbird. So not a bad replacement with Gary Stevens. Won the Clark, going the same distance on the same track last fall. And the big thing for me, not that he needs it, but he has some nice rabbits in here that should ensure a hot pace, and he'll just pounce at the end. I really like FNX. Race 9, the Regret Stakes. It's a grade 3 worth 100K for fillies, 3-year-olds going 1/8 mile on the turf. Field of 11 shows up for this one. This is probably the toughest race of the entire night. Your morning line favorite, 3-1, Anti-Joy all the way to the outside, the 11 horse. But this thing is wide open. Where are you going?
I just went with my buddy Chad Brown. You know, there's 5 or 6 I really considered in here. But I think the 5, Noble Beauty, I think she's going to get it done, but you're right. It's going to be very tough. I did like number 6, Try Your Luck, a little bit too. It's one of those things. If those two were, say they're at their morning line of 7-2, I might bet them both. You know, it's one of those things we kind of like to do. I don't know if they'll be that though, but on top, Noble Beauty for me.
Yeah, actually my win pick fell between the 5 and the 6 as well. And I went with the other horse, the one you did not pick in number 6, Try Your Luck. I'm with you. It's really close for me. The thing that really stuck out was, you know, Gary Stevens back on board here. And one last time out on this track going the same distance. Really looked like going this longer distance at 1/8 really did a lot for this horse. So I think in a race that we don't really know about a lot of these horses going this long on turf, I think she's got a good chance to repeat what she did last time out. So number 6, Try Your Luck. Let's go to Santa Anita Park, race 8, the Summertime Oaks. It's a grade 2 or 200K for fillies. 3-year-olds going 1/116 miles. Field is 7, but there's a reason why we're talking about this race. And that is the 4 horse at 1-5, your morning line favorite. Songbird has made her return. We've not seen her since April 9th when she romped like she always does in the Santa Anita Oaks. She then had a fever, kind of off the trail. This is a horse, a lot's happened since she's last ran, including the entire Triple Crown, when we said this is the best three-year-old, period, and now a lot's happened. It's interesting now that the Triple Crown's over, here she is again. Obviously, she should win this race, but in the bigger picture, what do you think about Songbird making her return?
Oh, I definitely think there'll be an upset in this race. No, I'm just kidding. Number four, Songbird. Yeah, definitely going to pick her on top here. After this race is the big question, like you said. Saratoga, that's where they're talking. They're talking about maybe targeting the coaching club, American Oaks, or the Alabama. Either one would get everybody excited for sure. She'd probably face some of those East Coast horses that have... I would say kind of stolen the spotlight from her as of now.
Yeah.
The spotlight will get stolen back on Saturday. Prompts. Since the fever now, I would definitely run her against the fillies a couple times, but there has to be a time, and I don't know when it's going to be or what race it's going to be, but there's got to be a time she faces some of these males before we take her to the next level of how good she is. We just don't know she's going to, wipe the floor with these fillies. So there has to be a time. I understand they'll take your time. Don't do it right away.
Yeah, get ready for the Twitter blowing up afterwards about how untested she is and how, why are we getting excited about her running, same thing over and over in Santa Anita. But I love it. I'm glad to see her back. What's interesting about this race, and I don't want to get too overboard here, but at least... If in a race it seems relatively boring besides her, is it both on... She's surrounded on the three-horse Not Now Carolyn and the five-horse Copa. Both have shown a ton of speed in their past. It's just interesting the way they're positioned. Will we see a situation that she sits off the pace? I don't know. I'm just saying it at least has some kind of a storyline behind it.
I pray we do. I pray she's about two or three links off those two. I don't think she will be. I don't think they're speed, and then there's elite speed, and they ain't got that. But
right.
I pray she sits off and romps just to stop. And it won't stop it, actually. It never stops it. But maybe to just lighten this whole she has to have the lead to win BS. Let's root for that to happen.
Yeah, you remember when everyone thought Catherine Sophia was just had to go to the front, and then she mm-hmm. didn't. She broke real poorly. And then had her best race ever.
Right.
Yeah, so let's be careful at what we wish for, because Songbird might actually become better off the pace. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to see it, because when these superstar horses like her, like American Pharoah, it does not matter. They'll win from wherever they want to win from. So they run their own race. So Songbird here, Songbird moving forward. Let's go to Sunday. Let's go to Monmouth Park, race 10, the Betfair Pegasus Stakes. It's a grade 3. Worth $150,000 for three-year-olds going 1/16 miles. We're talking about this. It is filled to 7, but we're talking about this because of number 4, Unify. This is a horse that everyone should know, East Coast especially. Undefeated. We thought for a little bit that horse might end up in the Belmont Stakes. They skipped out. They've run here. This looks like maybe a prep for the Haskell, perhaps, or maybe even to go to Saratoga. We're not sure, but number 4, Unified. What do you think?
Yeah, he's definitely going to be my pick here. I was one of those that were on board running him in the Belmont, but I'm kind of glad now that they didn't because this is the more prudent approach. And, yeah, he's going to prep here, and this is obviously, the key to the Haskell, like you said, or Jim Dandy. Jimmy Durkin's kind of a Saratoga guy, so that's kind of hard to know what he'll do there, but the Haskell would be right up his alley. So, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. He's going to be a fun horse this summer because he's one of the few that didn't run in the Triple Crown that you kind of could see competing with the big boys. So it's not that big of a stretch. But, yeah, I think he romps here today.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that a few things. I don't think they wanted to mess with a mile and a half, especially considering how lightly raced he is. And I think the other thing is Jimmy Jerkins knows how to train a horse, and he's obviously doing very, very being very careful with him. So I think he's easing his way into this. I mean, this horse could be a lot of different things. We don't know for sure, but for Sunday's purposes, it's for sure Unified.
Rant of the Week.
Never giving credit to horses who win.
Man, I'm so glad this segment's back because I've been being pissed off every week about this. No, I'm kidding, not every week, but most weeks. So here's what I love about horse racing and our joyous fans. Frosted wins the Met Mile by 14 and a half lengths in one of the most incredible performances I've seen since following the sport. You would think you would get on Twitter and see a lot of happy people. But did we see that? Yes. But did we see all of that? No, because the same people that were talking about that, how the Met Mile was competitive in a good race, all of a sudden the Met Mile is weak. It's terrible. There was nobody in the field. No wonder he won like that.
Oh, yeah.
Why can we not just credit greatness when we see it?
It happens all the time, no matter what horse, no matter what race. When there's a big-time performance like that, they assume that the rest of the field did not run, that the field is terrible. I mean, I saw people. It was no, like, you cannot sit here and tell me. Everyone across the board, the Met Mile this year was one of the best Met Miles we've had going into that race. I mean, everyone believed that. We all talked about it. We were all, even had calculator horses like that. We, you know, going into the race from the West Coast, that people were excited about. And then I saw the same people. I saw actual tweets that would say stuff like, well, you know, even though the field was weak, that was a great performance by Frost, you know, along those lines. Like,
right.
Even though the field wasn't as good as we thought it was, it was a great performance. And it's like, no, actually, he just ran them off their feet. And yeah. It doesn't mean that was a bad field. It just means that, I mean, you look at like American Pharoah, what he would do, doesn't mean he was beating bad fields. It just meant that he just destroyed them.
Well, we heard, oh, the Arkansas Derby, it's terrible. It was terrible. Actually, a lot of horses came back to win out of that race. So it really wasn't that bad. And I even heard it Tuesday morning when Tepin, in a very emotional victory for America and for her, wins at Royal Ascot in a Group 1. And I heard people, or I saw people tweet, well, that's not the greatest Group 1 you'll ever see at Royal Ascot. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's just incredible. You guys, sometimes horses are good. Just accept it. It's not that hard.
It's like, we're big football guys. You know, when a team that it's like we never a Super Bowl or whatever is really hyped up and both teams look great all year, you know, it's say that when Denver's went in and played Seattle game. That was like the best defense versus the best offense. We were so excited. Well, what happened? Seattle destroyed them.
Right.
It doesn't mean that Denver wasn't as good as we thought they were. It just means Seattle was so superbly better, they made them look terrible. And that's a very similar situation that we see all the time in racing. It doesn't mean, you don't take anything away from these horses that finished behind Frosted. It just means he beat the hell out of you that day.
Yeah, you hype up Denver the whole time, and then you bet them and all this other stuff, and then, well, now they suck. They just suck. Well, they only won like 13 games. But, yeah, so we're really mad. We're really pissed, and we actually have another one, another rant. So
wow, this is
really
the first, special. Two for one.
And we were only planning on having one, but there was some breaking news that came out of Oakland, of all places, today. A little backstory, Ricardo Santana, for lack of a better word, And don't get me wrong, I like Ricardo, and I think he's a very good jockey, but he rode like a jackass for most of Oakland's meeting this year. And he ended up getting suspensions that racked up to 21 days of, missing riding, suspended for 21 days for Oakland next year. Now, I fully understand that they tried to negotiate this and tried to get this lowered. 21 days, probably too many. They got it lowered to 15. I'm okay with that. But here's how he's going to serve it. He's going to serve 5 days to begin next meet at Oakland, and then 10 days this year at a track that the infractions didn't even happen at, and the days are to be announced. So anybody that knows Ricardo knows Oakland and Churchill are his two big money tracks. So I can guarantee you it won't be during Churchill Downs that this guy gets suspended. It'll just be probably his vacation days that he has planned already for himself. This is ridiculous. And if you want to stop riders from running aggressively, and by the way, endangering every horse and jockey on the track that's out there running, 5 days at his home meet and then 10 days when he's on vacation, probably not the way to get that done. That is insanity.
I don't care about the 10 days, like where those will be served. It doesn't matter to me, because what matters is the fact that only five of them are actually served at the place that it happened, you know, that the meet. So why would it not be the same meet that's where you serve the entire suspension? It's like Draymond Green, you know, being suspended last game of the NBA, that last game of the NBA Finals, and people saying, well, no, he's not going to be suspended for the NBA Finals. We're going to suspend him in the preseason next year. Right. It's still the same, though. You know, it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. You suspend the person for when the where the infractions, you know, like at that point, right then. And I get that you would wait till, for racing is a little different, you'd wait until next season, but I don't know. And I'm with you. I like Santana. Nothing against him. I mean, the suspension has nothing to do with him as a person necessarily. Just I don't know how they managed to get this deal, but wow.
The deal is with me, if you really want to stop a guy from riding like he did at Oakland Park, which again, I'll say it again, just like you said it, I have nothing against him, but sometimes he does stupid things when there's no need to do it. You know, his idea of race riding is try to intimidate everybody all the time, when most of the times he's on the best horse anyway. He could just ride a regular race. So if you want to get him to stop doing it, take 15 days out of where he makes all his money.
Right.
Or the most of his money.
Yeah, what about this? What about this is going to, you know, going to stop him from doing it again?
And if you look at the stats, the first 5 days of the meeting, how does Steve Asmussen, who's his number one guy, how does he usually do? He usually goes about 1 for 30. You know, Ricardo doesn't heat up until the third or fourth week, when Asmussen's horses start to heat up as well. This does nothing to him, and this is just ridiculous. And I remember having extensive conversations with trainers and with friends from Oakland, talking about Santana and 17, and boy, we may have a different rider that's going to win this thing, because, man, you know, 21 days is what it was at the time. That's almost half the meet. This is going to be really interesting. What's he going to do? Well, he's not going to do anything. He's going to, you know, it's not him that wormed his way out of it. Somebody helped him get out of it. And so now he just gets to go about his business. He gets a little vacation there to start 2017 of 5 days. I mean, it's absolutely insanity. And, you know, what's funny is, you know, Private Zone's trainer can smoke pot and now the horse can't run. But this guy's out there, you know, banging into other horses and getting DQ'd every other race. Eh, no big deal. Just take a week off. You'll be fine. So it is insanity.
Maybe the moral of the story is he should have just smoked pot.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have been fine there. You know, I don't think Oakland would test for that, or all the other drugs that they horses take that they don't test for at Oakland Park. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, it's just par for the course at Oakland, I guess. You know, five days, Ricardo. You did well, and those 10 days will be probably served at Ellis Park in between Churchill and Saratoga, when you don't really ride anyway. So it's good. It's how we teach lessons here in the sport. And you know, not that riding, you know, it's not a dangerous thing or anything. You know, bumping into other horses and knocking guys off horses, that's not dangerous. So no big deal.
It's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks and our premium selections on our handicapping products page. 100% money back guarantee, now covering all tracks. On Sunday, June 12th, our premium tip sheets paid out over $37,000 and had 78% of our best bets finish in the money. We're currently covering 35 tracks, including Royal Ascot right now, where we're hitting at 44.4% wins. Incredible. All offering free picks, so check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Altman. Good luck this week.
For all of your leads, racingdudes.com. For all of your bets, racingdudes.com. As good as it gets.